that Bill has me preach serve on Reformation Day when he's telling, one of the main points is, you're not saved by your works. And that's what he's trying to tell them. And then I'm going to tell you, get to work. So it's funny. It's pretty ironic. But you aren't saved by your works. You are saved by grace through faith. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 2. I will also, verses 8 and 9, I will also be quoting from verse 10 because it's important and it's part of today as well. So you are saved by grace through faith alone and Jesus alone. And but we have purpose. It's not just salvation for salvation's sake. There's purpose to it, and that's serving one another and loving Jesus by loving others. So that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit. But before we get to it, I would love to pray with you. Is that okay? Too bad. We're going to do it anyway. So we're going to pray. Let's pray. God, thank you for being such a good God, for being so tender and caring and long-suffering for us. God, thank you for your word that it's been preserved and brought to us today and translated into languages that we understand, and that you've been so just kind to us. Would you help us to take these things that you'll illuminate by your Holy Spirit to our hearts today, and let us do something about it. Don't let us leave thinking, oh, Sean gave a convicting word and it was good, and oh, hopefully it's to your glory. But let them allow the Spirit to do work in their hearts today of how they might serve your church and you to your church. God, would you help us love you the best we can and love each other the best we can? We need you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I think about service or serving, I can't help but think about Pastor Jim. Pastor Jim was the senior pastor at a church I served at while I was in college. I was crazy in college, and I decided that I would do full-time school, try to work, and do two youth internships because I didn't want anybody saying I didn't have experience when I graduated. So I was a madman, and I did two internships while trying to do everything else. And one of those was at a church that didn't really have a youth ministry going. It was a small country church in Pierston, Indiana. You've never heard of Pierston, Indiana, because it's that small. So, but they are proud people, and they have days called Pierston Days, and they have all kinds of fun things going on that the church participates in. But this small country church allowed me to come in and serve as a youth pastor. But in my service as a youth pastor, it was agreed that I would follow around the senior pastor and learn as much as I could during that time. That was part of my request, that I could learn all that I could from him. And so I did. For 2.5 years, I followed him around like a lost puppy and learning all kinds of things from this pastor. And one of the main things that I learned is that it is my job to serve the church. And he didn't just serve the church, he served the community too. And I learned so much from him that I never, ever in my life thought I would do or learn. I learned how to farm corn. That is not something I ever thought that I would learn how to do. This is a huge thing in Indiana, right? But I never thought that I would be participating in harvesting corn. So that was fun and dangerous. I also learned a great many other things from Pastor Jim, like cutting up venison for the first time. He taught me how to do that. Never thought I'd cut up an animal before, a butcher one, so that's interesting. Cleaning up roadways, cleaning up the church building, very thoroughly. House calls all hours of the day. Fixing cars, fixing up homes, repairing homes for people, present when families are struggling with addiction and other family struggles, child discipline issues. And on top of all of that, he was a volunteer firefighter. So if a man could be known for serving, it would be Pastor Jim. He was known for serving so well in the mindset of serving his community and his people, that people would come to the church because of the things he would do for them and say, thanks, and I'll attend in my thanksgiving to you. And they would come to faith because of that. So he did a phenomenal job. But here's an interesting thing. As leadership, whatever individual quality a leadership has, that is passed on to the church. And so I got to see the church pick up this quality of his in serving one another and serving the community and try to join in on these things as they were watching him and learning from him as I did. So hopefully you can see maybe even just the tiniest portion of that in me from him, of just service, learning what he showed me and trying to implement that here at Florence Lions Church. I try to be a serving pastor, along with other qualities that I've learned from other many great pastors. Pastor Bill has many great qualities that I'm learning as well. So he's not a perfect example. No man is a perfect example. I hope we all understand that. But he was a good one. He and the church were a good example of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. If you want to open up there, that's where we're going to be seeing our first spot. Today, we will not be staying in one spot the whole time. I hope you got your turning fingers ready or your scrolling fingers ready, because we will be scrolling and turning a few times. And I tried to shorten it as far as how many verses we were going to be turning to, because I didn't want your fingers hurting by the end of the service, because there's a lot of scripture about serving. But we will be hitting some key things today. In fact, because I am a true preacher, you'll be getting three requirements of service today. Yeah, three of them. So here's our first one, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. The first requirement of service: serving must be modeled. Serving must be modeled. And we see that in our verses here, starting off Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I'll read that. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the full, to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So our first requirement today for serving is that serving must be modeled. You're going to learn it from someone. How we do a thing is always caught. It's always, when we see somebody else do it, we go, okay, that's got to be the right way, because that's the way they're doing it. And if we try to teach somebody a different way, they're most likely going to be looking for the way that it's shown to them versus how it's told to them. Does that make sense? And I'm finding out in parenting to not be hypocritical and saying things like, don't say that, and then saying something in a similar manner. Or don't do that, and then doing something in a similar manner. Any other parents struggle with, no, I didn't think so. You guys are perfect. Just me. I'm glad I could be your model of hypocrisy. So, but it's the same in the church. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, Jesus gifts the church leadership. I am your gift, church. Part of your gift, church. Pastor Bill is the larger gift. I'm glad you're here to hear that. Jesus gifts you the church, according to verse 11. That's not Sean's words, that's God's words, right? So verse 11, he says, so Christ himself gave, and then he lists some offices of the church of pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists and apostles. And so he gives leadership, not so that leadership can do all the work. It is not my job to do everything in the church. It is not Pastor Bill's job to do everything in the church, right? So when we're looking at the Bible and we're seeing what God's design for the church is, we see that it is not our job to do anything else according to this passage here, except to equip you to do works of service, right? Verse 12, our job is to equip you, to train, teach, model. So to equip his people, Jesus' people, for works of service. That is our job, to equip you for works of service. And it is to bring you along and say, okay, we're going to go serve some people now, and I want you to see how it's done, because when we're done, it's your turn. So whether that's evangelism, whether that's starting a new ministry, whether that's go visiting someone somewhere, and sitting with them in their house because they're having chemo done, and they need someone to serve them with an act of presence, that's important. That's huge, especially when it's a widow. James says that's pure religion, to serve our widows and our orphans. We have a widow who is in need of service. What an opportunity, church. So here we are. Our job is to show you how it's done and then for you to go do it. And boy, what a joy it is to watch you do ministry. It is, man, it's so much fun. And so I've had the pleasure of leading my youth leaders and leading teenagers in ministry. Our first year here, we went up to Michigan and we did a VBS for a church that didn't have the people to do a VBS. And so that was a lot of fun, watching the teenagers take charge of these groups of small children and leading children to come to know Jesus. So amazing to watch somebody else do ministry that I don't, that it's not my job to do, it's their job to do that. It's your job. I love to see you do ministry. Pastor Bill, I'm sure, loves to see you do ministry. And so our job is to model that for you, for works of service. So you know how to do the ministry, the good works that God has planned for you ahead of time, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We aren't saved because of good works. We're saved to do good works. God empowers us to do those good works. And so it is our job as pastors and as leaders of the church to help equip you and train you and model it for you. Hopefully we're good models. Not physically speaking, I guess, but, you know, in service. So we build the next part of verse 12, because it's important as well. So that the body of Christ may be built up. So that the body of Christ may be built up. Not to outperform the next person. It's not the point of service. It's not to outperform people. It's to serve people. Our serving is to be like Jesus. Not trying to outdo him or others. I feel like at times I've caught myself, and again, I'm just being honest with you, and I might be the only one, and that's fine. Jesus has a very special relationship with me of saying, don't do that. So if you don't have that relationship, you should. It's an important one. So here's my don't do that, is I try to outperform him. He says, okay, this is what we're gonna do together. And then I go, ooh, that sounds like fun. And then I go for it. And he's like, hang on, come back. We're not ready yet. We have some preparation stuff to do. We have some learning to do before we get to that place. And so it's a not yet kind of moment. And I hope you have those. That's a good thing to have. That's not a bad thing to have. We need those moments. So when Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says these words, imitate me because I imitate Christ. He's not being narcissistic. He's not being self-righteous. He's saying, I am pursuing Jesus in a way that I believe is honorable and is good, and I'm serving Jesus in a way that I believe is honorable and good, and I think I'm modeling it really well. So please imitate me. I'm modeling it. Please do as I do. Imitate me because I imitate Christ. That's what he says there. I wonder how many of us feel confident enough to say that to other people that serve alongside us or maybe even report to us. Imitate me because I imitate Christ. What a quote that is from Paul. He knew the principle that the church follows the leader and the leader follows Jesus. He knew it. And he knew it well. I mean, obviously, he wrote it about it quite a few times, right? He wrote it to the Corinthian church. He wrote it to the Ephesian church. He ends up writing it to other churches, that the church follows leaders. And when he's building up leaders, Timothy and Titus, we get to read, he states the same principle in a different way, that the church will follow the leader, and it's our job to model what's good. So, Pastor Bill and I are to equip, train, teach, and model how to do these items of the Christian life so that you can be the best version of your serving self you can be. So if you feel like there's an area in your life where that could use some fine-tuning, talk to some leadership. We would love to disciple you, train you, model for you how that works out. And if we don't know how to do it that great, we might know that does do it really well, right? We each have a role to play in the church. And I might not be the best at doing something in the church. I'm not very good at many things. But I know a lot of people that are. And we would be happy to point you in a great direction. We equip you to do ministry so that you can do ministry and serve each other, to encourage and build up the church. That's the whole point of this, to encourage and build up the church. We do ministry to one another. We serve one another. But serving cannot be done well without humility, which is our second requirement for serving. Serving must be in humility. And we see this in John chapter 13. So I'm going to turn there real quick. You may flip there or scroll there or whatever it is you're doing to get to these texts. But John chapter 13, and it's a little longer passage, but it's an important one that Jesus gives us. We'll start with verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." All right, church. Serving must be done in humility. And you're already jumping ahead of me and thinking, yeah, we get it. Jesus is the perfect example of humility. But I have a couple other things that I'd like to point out as well. So we're gonna bullet point some of these items. The Last Supper for Jesus was this night. And there's still plenty to teach and model to the church, or to his disciples. So here he is modeling and teaching his disciples another thing. But this one feels different, doesn't it? Because all the other times that Jesus teaches, he doesn't really get rebuked. Peter here rebukes him. He says, "Nah, I don't think so, Jesus. You're not doing that for me." This one's on humility. This is different. He models it really well throughout the rest of his ministry, but this one feels really different because he's teaching them specifically service and humility in this moment. Jesus says, "This is a must do," and then he washes their feet. This is the job of the slave was washing people's feet. So Jesus, again, strips himself of status, strips himself of position, and takes the humble position and washes their feet. One of the worst jobs you could do, I would think. Could you imagine what people who were wearing open-toed sandals were stepping in all day when it wasn't nearly as clean as we have it? That feels as politically as good as I think I can put it out there. And then Jesus washes their feet. Church, we must humble ourselves. We must not only serve, but we must be served. Peter here shows us a really good way of what is kind of going on in the church. Boy, I would love for people to know me as the guy that serves. And then I serve. And then someone tries to serve me, and I go, no. It's okay. I got it. I don't need to be served. But you do, because who else is people going to serve? Our job is, it's a two-way street here. Yeah, my job is to serve you, you to serve me. It's a two-way. So I can't be so prideful that I say, no, don't serve me. Because I got this. I need you, church. I'll just be honest. Pastor Bill needs you. He stated that the last couple weeks. We need you desperately. So please, don't get the idea that, okay, just serve. That's how I'll be great in heaven. There's a heart issue to serving that Jesus is pointing out here. And he doesn't outright say it. It's more incognito. But there's a humble position that must be taken when serving people. Again, he strips himself of status. Again, he strips himself of position. When he's the God who created the universe, and he comes down and he washes the crud off of their feet. That's amazing. So, our culture's changed a little bit since Jesus' time. Back then it was, you could really tell who had pride because it was, now I'm not going to serve, right? The Pharisees, I'm not serving you, you're serving me. All the Gentile leaders that Jesus talks about in the Mark passage that was read, you know, I'm not serving them, they're serving me. That's the point. But it's flipped. We think now, because we've twisted Jesus' words, that if we serve enough, we have the status then. Like there's a formula of being great in the church, of I need to serve so I can be great in the church. That's not the point. The point is to be humble enough to serve and to allow people to serve you. So now we have taken the opposite way. We will serve until we can't serve, and then we serve some more, and then when somebody else starts to serve us, we say, no. We rebuke them like Peter did Jesus. It's a service to be served, just so you know. So all you senior saints out there, hear me. I'm sorry for this open rebuke. Please lower your pride. We want to serve you. And I understand that that's difficult because you've spent a lot of years serving other people. But we want to serve you. Let us do our job. Let us be great in the kingdom too. We want to be right alongside you. We want to serve. We want to serve you. So please help us serve. Sign up. Let me know what we can do to serve you on our serve day on the 13th. And please don't let the pride get in the way. Other people in the church, stop it. Don't let your pride get in the way. Let people serve you too. It's silly. We need each other. The moment we put up that wall is the moment our relationships, that depth is pulled out immediately. We're like, no, you're not touching that part. No, you're not touching that part. No, you're not touching that part. There's a relational depth that comes with serving. When the sermon series is growing stronger together, there's relational depth that's supposed to be happening too. It's not just things to check off. Okay, I do this. I belong to the church. Okay, I connect to the church. Okay, I grow with the church. Okay, I serve the church. I give to the church. I go with the church. It's all connected. And we're supposed to be all connected within that. That's the kind of the point. And that comes a little later on with our last piece. But I wanted to tell you this truth about how we're made. Can I tell you this truth, and then we'll move on to our next one? This is how we're made. I don't know if you've noticed while reading the beginning of Scripture in Genesis, when God makes Adam and Eve, you're not made any different, by the way. So what's true for them is true for me. When God makes Adam and Eve, he looks at Adam and says, ooh, he's alone, he's in need. Adam has a need, I need to fill that need. And then he makes Eve. Eve fills that need. And Eve says, ooh, I'm hungry. And she eats everything, including the apple she's not supposed to eat. But God has provided for her, right? Everything that they want, God provides. We were made the same way. We were made to need each other and to need God. That's the way you're designed. We need each other and we need God. We need each other to serve one another. We need God to give us the power and strength, the sustainability to do that stuff. So the moment you say, no, I've got this, is the moment you've placed yourself on God's throne, and that's a problem. Don't do that. Only God is the one that gives, and he's the one that blesses. And sometimes, a lot of times, it's an understatement, so I had to make sure that I corrected that. He wants to use us for one another, because Jesus is in me, Jesus is in you, and I need to see that Jesus that's in you, so I can see a different sparkling kaleidoscope piece of him that I may not see in myself. Does that make sense? God has created you differently, and I need that piece. We need to bring in other pieces for our kaleidoscope to continue to grow and become more perfect. Pride kills service. Don't do it. Humble yourself. Serving requires humility. Let's do that. So, serving must be modeled. It must be in humility. And lastly, serving must be in love. It must be in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and it says this. For him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Builds itself up. How is the church built up again? We remember that from verse 12 when he says to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It's built up by works of service. And works of service have to be done in love. It builds itself up in love as each one does its work. Serving must be done in love. And how do we do that? You know something, I'm going to pause there for a second and get back to that. I want to talk about something that has messed with my small brain for a little while. And then I finally figured it out and it made a lot of sense. Is that okay that we dive into my small brain for a second and we talk about what's bothered me? John chapter 13, again, but this a different passage. Verses 34 and 35, I'm going to read these. It's the new commandment that Jesus gives on Monday, Thursday. And he says in verse 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another. That's no surprise. As I have loved you, that's more difficult, so that you must love one another. And then verse 35 is where I get a little confused for a little while, and then I finally understood. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Okay, let me explain for a moment why I was confused. Because you look at the verse and you say, oh, yeah, I get that. Love one another, love like Jesus did. I have a pretty good firm grasp on Scripture. That makes a lot of sense to me. What didn't make sense to me was people are going to know I'm his disciples by the way I love you, the church. Not by the way I love them, the world. Do you kind of understand why I had a little bit of confusion going on? Because it doesn't make sense that they would say, okay, they belong to Jesus because of the way they're together. But we've mixed it up a little bit, and I've seen it for the last couple decades of being a Christian, of we got to love them so that they know we belong to Jesus. we've kind of messed up Jesus' words a little bit. There's an exclusivity to this love right here that Jesus gives in his new command. It's one another. It's the church. That blows my mind. It's an exclusive love. And the world goes, oh, they belong to Jesus. That doesn't blow your mind at all? That blows my mind. That loving each other is the light that they're going to go, oh, they belong to Jesus. That's awesome. So here's where it fits in. They're excluded from the love. They've just watched and listened. That's all they can do is watch and listen to us love each other. And then they want to join in to us loving each other. That's how it's supposed to work. According to this new command, right? And then they go, oh, they belong to Jesus. Well, I want some of that. When we serve in love, we make the world envy what we have. They want in. They want the unity that we're showing. They want the love too. They want in. They want the service. And we've missed it a little bit. Because we're like, okay, well, we need to go love the world. We need to go serve the world. And Jesus tells us to serve each other. We have to serve each other. You and me, and I to you, so that the world sees there's a love and a unity and an interdependent service that they are missing and they need, and they're going to want it. They're going to want in. We all desire to be loved. We all desire to love, and that's the key. That's the church. The church is filled with this by Jesus. He says, okay, I'm going to give you the capacity to love other people, and then you need to humbly allow other people to serve you as well, right? In seasons of life, we need to be served, to learn how to serve, and to be served, or to be of service. But if we miss 1 Corinthians 13, and it says that if we do all of that without love, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Without love, your service is just doing good stuff. And the world is already doing good stuff. Right? There's humanitarian efforts all over the place. This is supposed to be different. This service is supposed to unite us. It's supposed to bring us together in love and unity. So add love to your service. Add love to the other six pieces of involvement, to growing strong together in your maturity and discipleship. Those six pieces that we've been listing, that Pastor Bill's been listing, belong, connect, grow, serve, give, go. Add love to all that, because without love, none of that matters. Love for God and love for people. That's supposed to be the first commandment. Yeah, the first two commandments. And then we add all that stuff to it to make it function well. Serving is one of those functions. They will know we are Jesus' disciples by the way we love each other, by the way we serve, by serving, by connecting, by belonging, by growing with each other, by giving to one another, and by going as a united front. We must serve in love and be served by others in love. Just real quick, I want to reread for you, since we have a better understanding of that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. For him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And we know that the point of this is unity, according to verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith. So serving one another interdependently. So that means you serve me and I serve you, and we come together, and the more we do that with one another, the more we understand, oh, I actually need you, and you actually need me. And then we start to come closer and closer, and there's a relational depth that begins to happen. That's what we're supposed to have, church, right? That relational depth of one another. So please need me. I need you. We'll need each other. We'll grow together. And then the world will get jealous and start joining in. Oh, I need that. I want that. And let's be that light that Jesus wants us to be with our love for one another. So the world will know that we are his disciples by the way we serve each other in love. Before I close, I do want to bring your attention while we, the music team comes up. At the bottom of your sheet today, I put three different applications because I never know what Jesus is going to speak to people or how he wants to move your heart. And so you should consider these questions and ask God, God, do any of these relate to me today? And if so, what am I going to do about it? So there are three different questions. Question one deals with you serving in the church, how God has challenged you and how you might serve the church. Next one is how someone might serve you and if you're going to allow God to take care of that pride today. And then the last one is if you need to learn how to serve a little better and then who you're going to speak to today. So please pray about that as we sing our last song, and I'll be praying for you. And thank you, God, for this time. Please help us to consider the things you're speaking to our heart. Help us to not leave without dealing with them. Help us, yes, to not leave without dealing with them. We need to deal with it. Don't let us quench the Spirit today. Help us to serve and to be served. In Jesus' name.
Please stand again as we sing the last song.